So the red light is on and the God School is back in session. We ended last week quoting that second chapter of Ephesians, "For by grace, unmerited favor, are ye saved through faith, that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, that no man should boast." It was not my intention, as we started opening these verses last week, to do a continuing series. But that's where I'm being led. And it's a series in basic Christianity. This is the 500th anniversary, 2017, of the beginning of the Reformation. Wherein the Scripture became the authority of God's people, and not some human voice not some boasting of earthly performance, but the authority of God's word, which is being revealed to us and wherein we walk by faith. Paul says in that second chapter of Ephesians that no man should boast. And, you know, there's a tradition that says, no one should be boasting. Well, in the Scriptures, there's good boasting and there's bad boasting. The bad boasting is when we boast of ourselves, where we boast of that which is seen. And there is good boasting wherein, in Jeremiah 9, it says, and I'm going to paraphrase, let him that's strong boast not in his strength, and him that's wise boast not in his wisdom. And him that's rich boast not in his riches. But let him that boasts in this, that He has knowledge and understands, the things of God, that he exercises loving kindness, grace, folks, and judgment. That which was due us, he laid on Christ, and righteousness. It speaks of God's faithfulness. And And this can be known and understood in the earth. That God does exercise these things. And He delights in them. The life verse of Martin Luther was found in that passage of the first chapter of Romans, the 17th verse. The just shall live by faith. That's the gospel. You know, the gospel is not Matthew or Mark or Luke or John. Those are called the gospels, but the gospel, the good news, the hope that we have from God is that the righteous by faith shall live. And we're going back to Corinthians today. In the 18th verse of that fourth chapter, Paul says, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen, eternal." Psalm 119, verse 89, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Heaven is the destiny of Christians. Heaven is the hope of Christians. That is, those whom God chose out from before the foundations of the world in Christ for Himself to be with Him throughout eternity. That's God's eternal purpose. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, you know, called the love chapter, powerful passages. But included in those verses, it says, we see through a glass darkly. It's a light, but it's dimmed. The understanding is there's a light, but we don't see it all clearly now. In too many churches, Christianity is being proclaimed as something being seen. Paul opens the fifth, and he didn't have chapter and verse, but for our referencing systems, he opens the fifth and he says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. This old tabernacle's not dissolved yet. And you better, I'm looking for a verse. You better tread lightly if someone attempting to be an ambassador of Christ tells you they're already in that house. We are by faith, but not by sight. If so, being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon that mortality, this earthly tabernacle, might be swallowed up of life. Jesus said, "This is life eternal, that a man may know thee, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom God has sent." Let's continue now. He that brought us, that made us for the self same thing is God, who also has given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. The Greek word Erebon. To some, this is repeat, but I know I need the repeats, the repeatables of God, and if the teacher does, I have every confidence, so do the students. God also has given unto us the earnest of the Spirit, the Erebon. The word means part payment. My background for years was in the real estate business. And whenever we were selling a property, the contract was confirmed by earnest money. Not the full payment. That would be promised when all the terms of the contract were fulfilled, part payment, and it says in the same form as the earnest money was paid. We have a part payment, a Erebon of the Spirit. That's why Paul says, we look through a glass darkly. We don't have it all yet, folks. But we do have from God that part payment. And because of that, Paul goes on to say, therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Here's the description found in Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You know, I'm turning the pages because that's why God gave the book. He didn't want me or any other man relying on our memory in his kindness. He had it written down and he preserved it even to this day. But as I went and checked, I did quote the verse properly. Here's an attitude. Here's attitude's a good word. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Because of this, we labor. That, whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. How often have you heard those, whatever they are, Christians, come and ask that question, have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ? What a bunch of baloney. The question is, has the Lord accepted us? And in Jesus Christ, every man and woman whom God has chosen in Christ is accepted in Him. That's our boast. That's our confidence. Not of ourselves, but of Him. He goes on to say, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things in body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. This is not the white throat judgment seat, folks. I'm not teaching on this today, but there are two judgment seats. There is the white throne judgment, wherein everyone is found guilty, and the judgment seat of Christ, wherein the rewards of faith are received of His children. He says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. Folks, The word glory here appears three times in this verse. It's the same Greek word being translated boast. And he says, for we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to boast on our behalf. Oh. It says, Ephesians 4, that God gave gifts to the church. Apostles and prophets, evangelists and pastors and teachers. Paul, as evidenced by his influence on 2/3 of the New Testament, was the chief of the apostles. What a teacher these Corinthians had. That they may glory in the gift God gave them, their teacher, and that they might, because they've been taught, that they may have somewhat to answer them that glory in appearance, that boast in appearance, and not in heart, that which is not seen. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it's for your cause. Think about that. For the love of Christ constrains us. Not his love for Christ, but Christ's love for him. And Christ's love for you and Christ's love for me. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then all were dead. And he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died and rose again. When we pray as Jesus instructed, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, your kingdom come, your will. Your will be done. That's the attitude of one that's not living unto the ones that are not living unto themselves. Because of this, I'm transliterating 16th verse, it says, wherefore, it's answering what just preceded it. Therefore, I say, because of this, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. That's a tough one, folks. But it's possible. Just like faith is a tough one, but it's possible. Wherein keeping of the law, that ministry that he spoke of that God had given to Moses, which was to be done away with, was impossible. Faith is possible. We're better off if we, with understanding, can make the statement, "Know we no man after the flesh." He says, "Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, we know him no more." Jesus Christ did come and lived and walked and talked amongst us. But he died and was raised again by God our Father. That same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, it is claimed, will also quicken, give life to our mortal bodies. And Christ now sits at the right hand of God. That's why we don't see him anymore. Therefore, Paul says, he's making this entire argument. He says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, a new creature, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That's our hope, folks. That this old man is dead, that we're a new creature, that which is done in this body is passed away. And that new life, that new creation, that new creature, that inward man, that inner man, that hidden man, which is being renewed day by day, is being made new day by day. All things are become new, and all things are of God, listen, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. And Paul, a preacher of the good news, the gospel, the evangelion of God, makes that declaration, has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. But God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ.
But God, we'd see it. You know, if you've really been reconciled, if you've really been saved, we would see it.
Well, you know, if that is your attitude, you have not the earnest of the Spirit. Because you don't get what God has done, what God is doing, what God will do for us by Jesus Christ. Has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, here it is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Folks, it's all a gift of God, and he's doing it for himself because he has desired from the beginning when he said, let us make Adam in our image, to have a family throughout eternity with him. And from Adam to Christ, he has been teaching, no one qualifies. But Jesus said, this is my blood, the blood of the New Testament. God in the Old Testament gives glimpses. He gives glimpses of this passage. You can find it in Isaiah 43, 25th verse. There's a reference in my Bible. I'm sure there's one in yours also, where God speaking says, I, even I, am he that blotteth out your transgressions for my own sake and will not remember your sins. I love the other reference of this verse. God was in Christ. Romans chapter 3, verse 24. I'm going to go because I need to be reminded that, and all of us need to be reminded. Paul in the 20th verse, he says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. That's its purpose. To let you know, let me know, we're sinners. But now, but. Now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even a righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all the faithing ones. For there is no difference. Where is there no difference? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I need to translate that the impact might really hit home, this 24th verse. Being righteousified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Here's the picture of the truth. 25th verse, whom God has set before his face. I'm transliterating. Make no mistake about it. I've seen and heard enough evidence that this transliteration might open to the hearers the eyes of the understanding of what God has done, whom God has set before his face forever to be a hilasterion, that is the place where God would meet us. Who? It says whom? That's the place. Jesus Christ. Or as Paul puts it in the 24th verse, Christ Jesus. Through faith in his blood. And I would just say, when we see statements like that, given the fact that the life of the soul was in the blood, we can just as rightly say, through faith in his life, to it that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, has committed unto us this word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors. And an ambassador does not carry his own message. He carries the message of the one who sent him. For we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's place, be reconciled to God. For he has made him, that is, for God has made Jesus to be sin for us. Jesus, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, that is, in Christ. That we might be made, that word made in the Greek is in the middle voice, so let me expound on the word, that we might be made, and the actor doing this action is God, and it says that we might be made for himself the righteousness of God in him. Stick that in your pipe. Smoke it all week. To the praise and the glory of our God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the God School for today.